camp so far, two really, I guess, big stories have gotten a lot of coverage. And Friday was the Kadri situation. Were you surprised? You, as you noted on Twitter, got asked an honest question about where certain players were at, and maybe this is Toronto, but people ran with it. And were you surprised that it got the play it did? I suppose, though it was a very innocuous comment saying this is where it's at and won't affect his role or won't affect how we view him.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by it. I guess I was reminded. You come out of the summer and you're in a media scrum. You get asked a direct question. I gave an honest answer.
Yeah.
And then you're reminded of the passion of the city. And that's why I love working here. And sometimes you shake your head like I did later that day with all the coverage on it. But that's part of being in Toronto. And you've got to enjoy that juice and the passion of the city, that they love their players and they're going to take sides right away.
If he puts his mind to it and dedicates himself on and off the ice, how good can Nazem Kadri be?
Well, that's where we're at now. Naz is such a – this kid has got so much skill. And early on, we asked him to, hey, have a bigger commitment of not turning over pucks. And he's done that. And then we asked him of a bigger commitment in the D zone. And he's done that. And now all he needs to do is to get a little stronger, a little bit more powerful – and clean up his nutrition, and he's probably not in my dressing room anymore.
When do you think it all changed for NHL players and the commitment they got to make? Mike does the radio with the Kitchener Rangers. I worked in the OHL too, and you played in that league. And you see it early on that players start to evolve a little bit in terms of how they treat their bodies. They're different at 19 than they are at 16, and everything. Every guy, you know, grows a bit differently also. But when do you think it sort of the light really went on for everybody in the NHL that you want to stay, you want to play for every coach, you're going to have to make fitness a major priority, because it clearly it's not the same as it was when we watched hockey from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, it's not even close. And it's amazing. We've come so far, but we're still so far behind.
Yeah.
If you get sitting, talking to, I've been fortunate enough to have a bit of a relationship with like a guy like Simon Whitfield or these other athletes. So I don't think it was ever a switch. I think it's an evolution. It's no different than that cell phone you had 12 years ago. Your cell phone today is way better. And I think for the players, though, as the money increases, they want to play longer. And the best way to play longer is to look after your body and take a real interest in it. So now instead of you see guys, they used to retire at 32, you see guys playing well into their late 30s. You know, guys like Gary Roberts, who played a hard game, playing very late into his 30s, and geez, did he even hit 40? I don't know, but it's that's how it goes now.
And did you look at former teammates before you got into coaching and thought that guy's got a world of talent? I work harder than him, but he's got a world of talent. If you mix the two together, that's how you can make a superstar: work ethic plus the skills. Because you'd probably look at teammates and go, "This guy's just got it too easy. It all comes so naturally to him."
Well, it's an amazing thing as a coach, because you're constantly, you want to demand excellence, and you're looking around at players, and so you might have a guy. We've got guys in our room now that are extremely fit, but they need to have a bigger commitment to their skating or to the reads on the ice. You're always trying to add something to the player, and it never ever ends. And as a coach, and especially for me, I'm never going to let a player break me where it's, oh, you know what, he doesn't want to work on his skating. I'm tired of asking him. I'm just going to leave him. But we're going to keep going at him, because we want the most from these young men.
And is that, I mean, you played professional hockey, Dallas, from the late 80s to 2004, but only 120 games in the NHL. Is maybe your greatest achievement as a coach in the NHL is to make sure these young men maximize all their skills and not piss it away because they didn't feel like doing something that you told them to do?
Well, that's right. Hey, I played 120 games. I was the extra guy. I was scratched all the time because you know what I did? I was extremely fit and I didn't work enough on my skills. I know it now. Looking back, I was like, man, I should have worked more on my skills. And so because I've been through it and I know what's out there for these players, I'm going to push them every day on whatever we have deemed that they need to work on. I'm not going to stop because I know what's there for them. And I know they want it. Everybody wants it. It's the question, are you going to be committed enough to do it? And I'll tell you, the team that I coached last year, the young men that I've had here for the first 4 days of training camp, these guys want it. They're so committed. They're inspiring to work with. I told them yesterday, hey, these first 3 days have been extremely hard. But I walk into a day where I've given the players the day off today that I'm already proud. I'm already inspired by the group. So it's not all whips in there. It's a lot of times you're just trying to tweak things and nudge them in the right direction as well.
Dallas Aiken's kind enough to join us in studio. They'll open at home the Marlies. Well, you can get all your Marlies info, marlies.ca. They'll open at home a week from Saturday against Rochester. Yeah, you played briefly with Randy Carlisle. Probably, you know, a decade. Well, what am I doing? 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
I was going to say a decade and a half. We'll round it up. Your back, you know, hockey's a small world. What's the relationship like so far? I know there's been talk that you will adapt some things to meet how he's going to coach the big club. Am I reading into that properly?
Yeah, and it's no different than before. My job is to mimic the big club systems. And the reason we do that is if let's say you're playing for me, we're playing one system, you get called up, the Leafs are playing a different one, you step out on the ice, and even though they've quickly showed it to you, you've got to think about it.
Yeah.
You've got to think about it on the ice. And now you're uncomfortable, you're hesitant, and now you don't play well, and now you get sent back. So we want our guys to come in when they get called up to be comfortable so they can excel, play very well, and it's worked so far in the past. So these aren't major changes. We're making some tweaks, but I will teach our guys. They will know it inside out before they leave that dressing room.
And did you peg Randy as a head coach when you played? He had that look about him, didn't he, in the late 80s,
oh,
early
yeah.
90s, didn't he?
He was such a... you know, he really rubbed off on me as a young player. And Randy Carlisle meant business every day. And there was no off days for Randy Carlisle. It was, you're going to come in, work, attention to detail. And he's the same way now as a head coach.
When you sit with your coaching staff, Dallas, after practice and after camp and start breaking down the video, are there certain players that have really stood out that have impressed you in camp? Like, well, we didn't expect him to be this good.
Well, in camp so far, like, and I don't want to keep going back to him, but the, you know, Paul Ranger has got us shaking our heads a little bit. The young man hasn't played hockey in a few years, and he comes in extremely fit, and he was one of the top guys on the ice yesterday. You know, there's probably 10 to 11 guys that we were real happy with yesterday. So that's the guy that we've all went, geez, what a great step in the right direction.
You've got, it may not be a coincidence. You're well-spoken, and I feel like every time we've really enjoyed when we've talked to guys like Scrivens, guys like Joe Colburn, Matt Fratton's been great when he's been on with us. I feel like you've got a very media-savvy team. How do you view how your guys have interacted with the media and handled situations, winning streaks, losing streaks, and whatnot? I've got to be honest. I've been impressed by how your players have handled it. Is there training that goes on? How it's a different world than junior hockey, where 16-year-olds aren't used to a lot of microphones in their face at first.
Well, we talk about it, and it's not something that we talk about every day, but it comes up during the season. I just spoke about it at the training camp dinner, and guys are new to the Toronto market, and it's little things for me. You never sit down in your stall and do an interview. Stand up, look the people in the eye. And the biggest thing I ask the players to do, if you don't want any problems here, just be honest. Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes you can't lay it all out there, but
you shouldn't. Yeah.
But I think the marketplace deserves it. I think the people deserve it. I think the guys that are standing in your stall have put some time and some thought into their questions, and you need to look them in the eye and answer them honestly. And the other thing I like our guys to do is, know this guy's name. Know this guy's name. Does he have a kid in college? You don't have to just sit and it's got to be, hey, ask me the question. I'm going to answer it and we're done. As much as it seems like in Toronto to me, it's us and them, where in reality, we work together. We all come to the same place every day to work. We just have different jobs. My job's to coach, their job's to play. The other people that are in the rink are there to report it to our fans.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's a working relationship. Try to be honest and try to get along.
With the lockout, Dallas, obviously there's probably a bigger media contingent following the team in camp than ever before. I mean, are the players aware that with this ongoing labor dispute in the NHL that there's going to be more attention on them and more eyes on them than usual, a real chance for them to make a name for themselves?
Yeah, they're very aware of it. And for me, I love it because it's another part of the development. So, hey, we've got media there every day. How are you going to handle it? Just like we were talking about. Where usually right now, hey, everybody will be over on the Leaf side. There may be one or two guys coming over to say hi. That'd be about it. So, yeah, we want to have lots of people around. We want the word out about our team. This is a team that went to the final. We have extremely hard-working young men, and the product on the ice is great.
Before you go, a lot of people have talked about, I wouldn't say your aspirations, but your qualifications to coach in the NHL. Does it flatter you when someone says, Dallas Eakins is going to be a real good NHL coach? It's something you can't get caught up in. I mean, it's kind of tunnel vision for the task at hand and family and everything else that you're involved in. But is it flattering? How do you view it? Is it just take it as a compliment, grain of salt?
Yeah, I think you're always, it's a nice compliment. There are people that might say, boy, he's never going to coach in the NHL. And that's fine, too. Everybody has an opinion. I understand that. The people that are saying that I'm going to do it, it's too bad they're not hiring the people.
How do we get those? How do we swing that around a little bit?
Yeah.
We make you got new owners, messages, I mean, yeah, in the last 12 months, so you never know.
Yeah. You know what? For me, it's really easy. I come in every day. I know what my job is. It's to develop these young guys. And I'm going to do everything I can. And if I do that well, then my career will just always look after itself. It might be this year, next year. It might be 5 years from now. Who knows? Yeah. But I'm in no hurry.